Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 28 for February 6th, 2007.
Inconceivable!
You know, I think this is rapidly becoming my favorite time of the week, the time we get together to talk about Macintosh. Around the table, Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Corps. Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Scott Bourne, who is Mr. iLife Zone and a man about town, now about our town some of the time.
Well, in 7 days.
I'm excited. That's neat. We can all visit his penthouse. Maybe we'll do the show from the penthouse.
We should. From the roof.
Can we?
We can do it from the roof because there's a 360-degree view of the city.
Oh, wow. Too bad it's audio. Merlin Mann.
No, we could shoot video, too.
The man who is Mr. Productivity and is now wasting his time on Twitter. Yes!
you finally ground me down.
My evil plan is working.
Now people can know when I'm enjoying a sandwich or petting my kitty. It's all available.
Let me see what your last post is, Merlin. You don't post nearly enough. You know who's on here now, though? People like Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia.
Jeez.
I mean, this is Evan Williams' project, kind of a little Odeo thing, yeah? You know
it. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It's a little thing that Obvious does. I got to say, the big difference that made me readopt this from before is that I don't have to have it on my phone. When it was on my phone, it made me a little crazy.
Well, it also could be expensive because the way it works is it's not an instant message client, but it's kind of reminiscent of it, except that you're not really talking to any one person. You're broadcasting what you're doing right now, and people can follow you and watch what you're doing right now. Merlin, I don't know what you're doing. I mean,
that's a line from a song, I think, because I'm actually secretly a 12-year-old girl.
I love it. It's very funny. So people are doing that. People are putting quotes
what do
in.
People usually, what do people usually say? They say, oh, I'm sitting here and I'm eating a taco. Or
some people do.
What they're doing? It's kind of an away message without the aim.
Yeah. It's like away messages on steroids. Although I think a lot of people are putting funny quotes in and intentionally obscure it and stuff, which I like. It's just strange.
All right. Well, I'll update mine.
I'm a little over indulgent.
You see I use Ceiling Cat?
What's Ceiling Cat?
You go to mine, you can see Ceiling Cat. Ceiling Cat's up in the ceiling watching you. Did you see that?
Twitter.com/hotdogsladies, right?
That's right.
Is that where we'll see Ceiling Cat?
Explaining Ceiling Cat.
Yeah, see? There's something strange about Twitter, and I can't quite figure it out. I think it's for lonely people. Like us.
Yeah, well, that describes you guys real
exactly,
well.
Exactly.
I'm my only friend.
So the story of the week is what didn't happen, as Scott Bourne so eloquently put it.
What dun, 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 dun.
On Sunday, no big Apple. There was no ad at all from Apple.
There was nothing from Apple. There was no wardrobe malfunction, which really disappointed me.
I don't want to see Prince's nipples. I'm sorry. It's okay. I thought
Prince
was stunning.
Well, it had nothing to do with Prince. I was
in the rain, in the frickin' rain, and
Prince
he looked terrific.
Is brilliant.
I was waiting for him to be electrocuted, actually.
I was a little nervous. I figured they put something down to, you know, and I was worried about
the
wind.
To be able to walk out there.
So good.
Got in his heels. And he's walking around there, and his suit looked fantastic. He played like a pro. He's shredded.
He didn't look wet.
He's fantastic. No, not at all.
He's a god. He doesn't get wet. Anyway, I'm now, once again, I think the whole world rediscovered Prince. Apparently he's doing a Vegas show, somebody told me. He's going to be
looks pretty good for 63. He could be. He's been around forever.
He's so good. Anyway.
But yeah, there was no Apple ad. There was no Apple announcement. There was no Apple nothing. There wasn't even any fruit.
Okay, I'm going to avoid that line because I've already been in trouble once by offhand comments about people. So you're just setting me up. Please, I ask you.
I put it on a tee for you.
Consider me armed and dangerous, okay?
Okay.
At least my tongue.
There was a rumor going around. I'm trying to find it here on the dig, but there was a rumor going around that they had an actual ad on deck and ready to go, and it got bumped for some reason.
Oh, please, of course.
Did we see this rumor?
No.
No.
And it's not credible, is it?
Whoa. You're saying we're only going to talk about credible rumors
now?
Oh,
yeah, of course. What was I thinking? I just loved how, as far as I know, you, Merlin, created the initial rumor that there was going to be a Beatles iPod.
Why did you bring this up, Merlin?
What's great about it is it's spun out of control. And I saw from all this. Now we know how rumors happen.
You know how it happens? Freaking Leo Laporte goes out there and repeats it. That's how it happens.
Over and over.
Over and over. Ooh, I heard it. Merlin said there's going to be an iPod.
I did. I gave like 20 interviews.
Well, the next day, everybody's like, you know, Leo's going out there and telling people all that stuff you made up. He's going out and saying, you know, your reputation's on the line.
No.
I'm like, A, what reputation? B, Leo.
Yeah, I heard Paul McCartney actually talking about Merlin's predictions. It was crazy.
No, but it immediately got separated away from Merlin. I'm glad to say nobody said Merlin Man. In fact, that's how it achieves the status of truth, right? You don't say, oh, some guy on a podcast said it. You say, right. I've heard. And I'm telling you, a number of Apple rumor blogs repeated this as if, you know, it comes straight from Cupertino instead of straight from Merlin's butt.
Can I count on you? Right out of my butt. Which I think, if you go back and listen.
You
to
tried
the episode,
to shut it down right then.
I identified my butt as my source on that from very early on.
And you were mortified right away.
In the moment, that's right.
But I wouldn't let it go, and I'm glad.
You wouldn't.
Because you
but
know
I wonder
why?
If I can count on you in the future. I want to count on you as somebody that I can pass terrible information to and then spread that to more credible sources.
I could be used that way.
You're like a virus.
I could be used by enemy agents to spread bad information. But I think it's a good... I'm still saying it's what Apple should do.
I heard it repeated so many times now, I think it's a good idea. It is interesting to think about. I mean, especially in light of now they've got all the different colored shuffles and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
but we don't want that. We want a widescreen touch iPod.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's got Beatles on it or not. I want the iPod. I'm really disappointed, frankly.
I have to admit, one of the big things that I've heard about the iPhone is a lot of people are talking about, well, do you know how expensive Singular's data plan is?
I know, because I pay for it.
Well, but the funny thing is that I realized that with a Wi-Fi hooked to the phone, I just don't expect to use it that much. Like, I don't have any expectation of using more than like 10 minutes max or you know, a handful of times. Ironically, I'll be using a Singular device to mostly surf through the T-Mobile network, which is at every Starbucks, which is what I do now. And so I just think it's interesting that I realize that I really care more about the Wi-Fi and the widescreen iPod than I care about the phone part.
Here we are a month later almost. Is the honeymoon over for the iPhone? Who's going to get in line and buy one?
Well,
we're going to get.
I know somebody who's going to get in line and buy at least four.
No, I think he is. I don't think he is.
He's not getting off that easy.
Now wait a minute. Let's replay the videotape.
I knew it. You're going to try and weasel out of this.
What I said was, if they're shipping the day of the keynote,
he's weaseling.
I would buy one for everybody. All you have to do is go back and listen, Mr. Man.
Weasel.
It simply didn't happen, so I'm off the hook. Now, you know, if you're nice to me between now and then, maybe I'll reconsider.
No, that's good. You get out of it by adding some kind of emotional leverage.
I don't really want one.
Oh, quit it.
I just want my freebie.
I guess I would say that I would buy it with or without the phone service. If it had everything that the iPhone's promising and no phone service, I'd still buy it. You know, it wouldn't. The phone is important to me. I mean, like, I'd love to get rid of my extra phone, but having all that interconnectivity. In fact, there's part of me that would rather have the iPhone available as more like a Milo, like the Sony Milo.
That's what I just. I just played the Milo sound.
Oh,
yeah, the Milo.
I would much rather. I would actually prefer it when I started thinking about all the limitations that we're getting because Singular is involved. I have to admit, there's part of me that just wishes they'd put one out without Singular that had all the other stuff and unwrapped the VoIP. And let us just, you know, do it that way.
But the Milo's not a phone. The Milo is it's a little handheld internet.
But I think you can do VoIP on the Milo. I believe. I think you can do VoIP on the Milo.
Leo, over at iLive Zone, we did a poll and more than 250 people responding. We had 85% saying they either are certainly going to buy it or plan on buying it pretty sure.
How recently was that poll?
That was about 3 weeks ago.
See, because I think the bloom is off the rose.
Well, okay, so maybe it's half that now. Who knows? I think that it's still too early to be worrying about it we'll wait till it gets here, and then we'll watch everything go crazy. And
well, for me, the immediate bloom of I'm going to run out this minute and buy this no matter what, that part of the bloom is off the rose. But I think it's going to be interesting when they wrap back around, and as the date approaches and we start hearing more locked in functionality that we can count on, there's going to be a huge second wave as they say, yes, we will do this or we won't do that. And people will really be able to make a buying decision at that point.
Well, and I just want to underline what I just said. With the Milo, you can, it says here, you can use an 802.11b and you are able to chat, talk, and share files with your friends from any open Wi-Fi hotspot.
But they don't say VoIP necessarily.
No, but I mean, you're
what operating system is it? I mean, you know, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, it's got to be a real OS for Skype to work. It can't just be, you know, Sony OS.
Now, see, here's the question. Are we going to be able to use the Wi-Fi network on the iPhone to access various VoIP services? And if we are, why would we need to do any of the data services?
Well, what I'm saying is that, I mean, with, are you talking about the Milo or the Mac? With the iPhone, the thing is the VoIP services are going to be shut down. So you're not going to be able to use Skype on an iPhone.
Oh,
that's part of Singular being involved, is that we're not going to be able to use VoIP. And that's, as it's kind of sunk in, I've realized that I would get a cheaper phone if I had a Wi-Fi enabled whatever they want to call it, you know, an iPod that has everything that I'm far more excited about everything else on the iPhone than I am about calling people. And to be honest with, I'd rather have that option given that, for instance, San Francisco is going to be, you know, Wi-Fi enabled all the way through the entire city. In any other city, I can walk within 150 feet of a Starbucks.
I have to throw a little mud into your fairy dust here, though. There's a couple of problems. First of all, it's only going to be 300K, not fast enough, I don't think, probably, and almost certainly not fast enough for VoIP. Second of all, you got to have a fast enough processor in these handheld devices to do Skype or some sort of VoIP, and that's highly unlikely. You know,
Where'd you get that number on the?
That's what they were saying. Now I haven't seen the latest. Yeah, and the reason
Acoustic modem speed.
Not 300 kilobits, 300 kilobytes, but still
300. If it's really 300 kilobytes would be plenty. 300 kilobits would be enough.
300 kilobits. I'm sorry, it is 300 kilobits.
That's still enough for
not 300 baud.
No, 300 kilobits.
Because I was going to say we could see a return of BBSs.
You want to hear?
Hallelujah! This is Scott calling from 1997.
No, I think that you're going to see that a lot in municipal Wi-Fi. That's a way of kind of appeasing all of the competing forces. Well, we'll give you enough bandwidth.
We don't let you get. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'd heard, but that's a while ago. I don't know what the actual implementation is going to be. You want to hear the leaked Apple Super Bowl commercial that never ran?
Yeah, I saw that.
70% of all feature films are edited on an Apple computer. You have to imagine Jeff Goldblum saying 60% of all recording studios use an Apple computer. 65% of all graphics. This is the worst ad. Apple would never do this.
I think it's a fake.
99% of all accountants use a PC. Of course it's a fake. But this came out before the Super Bowl. Like a day before. Think different. And it has the old Apple logo. You'd have to be an idiot to believe.
Lame.
Lame! Come on, guys.
Lame, I say!
It's like that, did you see the invitation to the Apple event? That went out. Yeah. It was an Apple event February 1st. And I mean, they first of all, they're using the wrong font. What Apple uses, Myriad, or I can't remember.
Myriad, yeah.
They beveled the Apple logo. It was like some cheesy Photoshop thing, and everybody believed it.
Well, if none of us got the invitation, we know it's not real.
Well, that's what I said. I said, you know.
Well, I guess if Leo hasn't gotten the invitation.
Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, ho.
We just wait. I always just wait. I know if it's real, like when they say it's a press event, I'm like, has Leo gotten an invitation?
I get a lot more fake invitations than real invitations.
I only get to go to the Apple events when Leo gets an invitation.
Hey,
I should get
an invitation. I showed 3 Macs on Regis and Kelly. Then I deserve an invitation now.
Can we talk about your white lab coat?
You know, it wasn't my idea. And also it didn't fit. It was 44. I'm a 46. So I felt like a sausage in a lab coat.
You looked a little preggers in there, Leo.
It wasn't a good look. They said, we got you the big one. But remember
the eye bratwurst.
This is Regis and Kelly. These people are size zeros. I mean, the big one is, you know, for Merlin.
I'm sure Regis was like, hey,
Regis
can swim in that thing.
It ended up being Pat Sajak, who looks uncannily like Regis. It's kind of a weird. I think it's the same height. I think that's why they use him, because of the they don't have to redo the lights. He's the same height, so the spotlights are right where they're supposed to be.
And I mean, my gosh, they had three commercial breaks during your TV segment, and you were talking about six TVs.
Oh, I had more than that. I had.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, it felt like about every two TVs we got a commercial.
That's always what it is. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's normal.
But you were great. You were great.
Thank you. Even with the lab coat. Was not my idea.
Other than you looked a little preggers, you were fine.
I liked the lab coat because I thought, well, at least I don't have to wear a wardrobe. I'll wear whatever I'm wearing. What is this Wisher thing? Have you looked at this on the people send us links, by the way, and you can too, by tagging on Delicious MBW Ideas. And T. Yates 817 has tagged something, free Wi-Fi anywhere, from Wisher.com. You guys obviously didn't see it. That's why I'm stalling.
So is this the little dongle that you plug in?
No hardware to purchase. It works with any Wi-Fi device.
Because there was a thing buzzing around. It looks like a little bit of it. It's some result of a project.
I think the idea is it's a mesh kind of a... Oh, I know what you're talking about. The phone device. Or, and then there's another group doing another mesh. What is the name of it? I just read about it in the Times, of all places. It's kind of a good idea. Hmm. People are pointing out that municipal Wi-Fi... It is expecting municipal Wi-Fi to give people internet access in their homes is like expecting to put a street light on the street and having them be able to read books in their, you know, easy chair with it. It doesn't work very well, which is a good point. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't penetrate the walls. So,
yeah, I would think, all this hope that we hang on the Google Wi-Fi in San Francisco, I think of a little bit like public transit, where I'm very glad to know it's there. But if my eyeball's bleeding, I'm definitely going to call a cab. You know, I wouldn't want to count. I mean, it's going to be good for being able to move around and have a contiguous connection.
Yeah, if you're in the park, it'll be great. But I don't know if it's going to work in your house.
I'm not planning to watch movies on it. I just want to be able to check my email.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's for me, that's all I need out of the municipal Wi-Fi, is just to be able to check my email, without having to find a Starbucks, which is pretty easy in San Francisco. So it's not that big of a deal as it is for me. I just walk in.
They got a couple Starbucks here, two or three.
A few. I was wandering around Menlo Park earlier today.
There's a place up by Embarcadero where you could stand and see, you could turn in a circle and see three Starbucks. Just
Manhattan's like that. There was a Starbucks with a Starbucks in the bathroom. I thought that was kind of weird.
Yes. In Gig Harbor, there are four on one corner near my house.
One corner?
Four? Well, he lives near the epicenter, though. You live near the epicenter.
Well, actually, let me take that back. There are four on the corner, and then about 100 yards from one of them is a fifth one.
Well, you shouldn't have 12. To go a couple hundred feet without a Dolce Frappuccino. I mean,
yeah, there's 12 Starbucks within three blocks of our office. And what's crazy is there's still another like five or six other coffee shops within the same rate. And then more than that, I think eight coffee shops. We did a survey one time because we just thought it was the most insane thing we'd ever seen.
I know you talked about Norway not wanting to do iTunes. Because of Apple's anti-competitive stance, you know, on the iPod and the DRM, this is a little anti-competitive. Apple says, if you want to use iTunes, better not switch to Vista.
They're having compatibility problems with
it. But
I think they said don't. I think they just said they're not ready yet for it.
They're just saying wait a couple of weeks.
Don't you think that's a little anti-competitive? I mean, I think you can make a pretty good case that that's Apple trying to sabotage the new operating system.
It's just 2 weeks, Leo.
I also think it's going to be hard for... I think it would be hard to call it anti-competitive against Microsoft, number one. And number two is I think Apple could probably safely argue that the vast majority of Windows users don't use iTunes.
No, what? No, it's one of
the vast majority of Windows users don't use iTunes.
It's one of the most popular applications on Windows, according to somebody, Gadget or somebody. Wait a minute, let me see.
Maybe on home PCs, but not on
business. But there's hundreds of millions of home users, and new computer sold now runs Vista. So
apparently
it's going to be it is going to be fixed. But still, I think you could say, look, what are, you know.
So who dropped the ball there, Leo? Was that Apple's job to have that ready?
Yeah,
time?
They had 3 months. Vista's been out in its ready to ship form since November.
That's
so. Here's what Apple said. Apple spokesman Derek Maines. Although iTunes 7.02 may work with Windows Vista on many typical PCs, Apple's aware of some known compatibility issues and recommends that iTunes customers wait to upgrade to Windows Vista until after the next release of iTunes, which will be available in the next few weeks. Has the next release come out? No.
Well, I'd like to say for the record that my iTunes on my Mac works just fine.
I have to say for the record, the iTunes on Windows has never worked well. I get more complaints from Windows users about iTunes. It is somewhat relevant to us, too, because iTunes is really how you listen to podcasts.
It's the gateway drug.
It is. The gateway drug to Apple, to Mac.
Well, you have to wonder. I think it's a gateway drug to the Apple experience. I mean, Alex and I have talked about this a million times. To my mind, I can't guess because I haven't been a new Mac user for 20 years, but I can only imagine that somebody coming into that and having the iPod experience
if
and being able to
worked.
Go by Lost. If it works.
But if
my mom couldn't get it. My mom couldn't get it to install.
It's
I bought her a video
Windows.
iPod and she couldn't get it to install. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about anti-competitiveness. How do we know it isn't Microsoft being anti-competitive?
Good point. They used to say, there's an old saying that Windows ain't done till Lotus won't run. Could be.
I remember that.
Windows ain't done till iTunes won't run.
How could it be Windows doing that? How could it be Microsoft?
Well, because it's unlikely.
Apple has to rely on the SDK, and Microsoft could say, this is the one.
My experience has been it's often QuickTime 7 that's the issue with Windows. Yes or no? Anybody? Well, none of you guys use Windows.
Who uses Windows?
I'm talking to the wrong.
This is a Mac show.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought this was Windows Weekly. I'm sorry. I'll ask Paul Thurrott. People get mad at us on Windows Weekly for being Mac fanboys. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So let's get them mad at us for being Vista fanboys. Don't you love Vista, guys?
I've seen it.
That's what I said. It's like being a Gravity fanboy. Like, what are my options? I'm going to go out and buy a Dell. That's going to happen. I'm a big fanboy. Yeah.
I did speak at the Windows 2000 launch.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you speak about?
We talked about visual effects on computers. No, we talked about visual effects on computers. And, they sent us some machines.
I have to say I remember talking with Steve Jobs when he was still at Pixar. He was looking from a distance at how Apple is running its business. And he said at the time that Apple missed the boat, that they had this 10-year lead and they let Microsoft catch up. And finally by 95, with Windows 95, Microsoft had caught up. And remember, this was when OS 9 probably was out, or OS 7, mm-hmm. System 7. And he said, we blew it. And I have to say, something similar might have occurred here. Vista is, in many ways, it's going to be as secure as OS X. I'm convinced of it now, having used it for a while. It's as reliable. It has a lot to be said for it. I mean, it's in many ways. Now, I'm not saying it's as good as a Mac any more than Windows 95 was as good as OS 9 or whatever. But it's close enough, I guess, that it might slow down that switching. We'll see.
And so you feel like, have you had an opportunity then to see, based on your experience previously, that you see a slowdown in the amount of like weird virus and...
Oh, gosh. Well, we don't know. I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, but not even that long, 1 week. But what everybody's been waiting for in this week is some, oh, my God, there's a zero-day exploit. And there hasn't been. And I have to say, knowing what's going on, I didn't go on the cruise, but I prepared a couple of lectures on security, and it's quite impressive. Much of what they've done looks very similar to what Apple did with... Hello?
Sorry. Ironically, my phone doesn't ring when...
Alex's toast is ready.
Yeah, it only rings when my toast
You've
is
got
ready.
Toast!
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Apple touted at Macworld, and I think has been saying in many different venues that there's a lot of switching going on.
There is. I mean, have you seen the growing? I mean, with there's a handful of research that's showing that Apple, at least usage through a site that's kind of crossing a large number of websites all at the same time, and has seen the Apple percentage grow profoundly over the last year. I mean, it was at 2 or 3%, I think, or 3% at end of last year. Now it's cresting 6%, according to that. Not as far as computer sales, I don't think yet, but as far as web usage, and so I think that we are seeing a large jump in that. I think it's going to continue to accelerate. I think that Vista's cute and everything, but I think people choosing to they have to get, what Vista's going to do is going to force a whole lot of people to decide on what kind of computer they want next.
In Newsweek this week,
and that's going to give them an open.
In Newsweek this week, Stephen Levy talks to Bill Gates and suggests, I have to give him credit for this, that Microsoft might have borrowed some OS X features. Gates says, you can go through and look at who showed any of these things first if you care about the facts. If you just want to say Steve Jobs invented the world and the rest of us came along, that's fine.
just a tad defensive, isn't it?
He doesn't say it directly, according to Macworld magazine. Peter Cohen's writing in Macworld. But Gates intimates, actually, this is Macworld Online. There is no more Macworld magazine. Macworld Online. Is there a Macworld magazine?
No. Yeah,
there's no longer a Mac user. There's now a Mac.
Okay, I'm confused.
Mac
anyway.
User magazine, anyway.
Anyway. So,
Asa Snell's not going to be happy with you.
Oh, you're right. It's called Macworld. I'm just confused. I'm sorry. I'm just a porn guy. Just ignore me. Anyway, he doesn't say it directly, but Gates intimates that Microsoft showed off features that Apple ended up copying and shipping in its products before Microsoft could, because Microsoft spent so much time working on Vista security. Like,
it wasn't all that secure if they gave a shot at Apple.
We knew about it. He also says, this is Gates again talking, security guys break the Mac every single day. Every single day. They come out with a total exploit. Your machine can be taken over totally. He's talking about the month of Apple bugs, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm still waiting to see any evidence of that.
None of these exploits seem particularly good. Apple has been patching those that have any clout, any potency. Let's see what he says here.
There we go.
Bill Gates.
On it.
And by the way, Peter's pretty upset with Bill. He says, Gates is wrong. Poorly informed. But this is an interesting article in Newsweek.
And Stephen Levy took some heat for not holding Gates' feet to the fire, so to speak, to mix my metaphors, on the fact that was untrue. And on Daring Fireball, John Gruber was linking to Levy's response to that, where he said, I think the Newsweek's online readers are smart enough to understand that Bill Gates is a passionate partisan of Microsoft and to assess his comments on the competition in that spirit. He's saying that when I've got time with Bill Gates, I'm not going to sit there and argue technology with him. I'm going to give him the chance to say whatever it is he's got to say.
Speaking as somebody who's often accused of pitching the hard balls, I completely understand. For one thing, Gates has and will walk out on you. And he has in the past. He walked out on Connie Chung.
This interview is over.
Yeah. I'm not talking to you. You're mean.
Get out of my basement.
But you did a really good Bill Gates, Merlin.
But also, I don't know if this has changed, but it used to be you had to submit questions ahead of time and you couldn't change them. So I don't know if that's still the case, but it used to be you could not interview Bill without submitting your questions ahead of time. I doubt news would submit to that, though. That's pretty... I never would, which is why I've never had an interview with Bill.
He came off sounding very defensive, and frankly, it surprised me because, you know, if you're like the world's second, third, first, whatever, richest guy, you don't need to be defensive.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he came off really, I would have just like, you know, cruised up there at the high altitude and not worried about it. But you can tell that it's obviously stinging him. And it probably has something to do with the fact that every time he goes to Best Buy, there's 2.3 million Zunes sitting there on the shelves.
It had to work that one in.
Ow.
Ooh, hey, and by the way, I want you to know I'm just really nervous about the Zune phone.
Why are you scared?
Because that's clearly going
to
be the difference right there. The Zune phone.
I for a long time, I don't use it anymore, but for a long time I was using a Windows Mobile 5 phone, and I finally gave it up. It was a T-Mobile Dash. I finally gave it up about 2 weeks ago. Fortunately, a Nokia came into my life thanks to Vox, but I was glad to get rid of it because the day before, it crashed in the middle of a phone call. I do not want a phone operating system that will blue screen in the middle of a phone call. That's just not acceptable.
Yeah, well, was it a notification or something? What would cause that?
It happens all the time. I talk to other Windows Mobile 5 users who've had the same thing happen. It's Windows, and sometimes it freezes up. And it's not, I mean, you shouldn't have that complicated an OS in a cell phone, I think. And by the way, that might be something to watch out for if
don't
this really
say
is
that
OS
too loud.
10 in the iPhone. You want a simpler OS. It's like your toaster. You don't want your toaster to crash. You don't want your TV to crash.
But how often does your Mac crash, Leo?
Rarely.
Okay, so there you go.
Although
biggest source of crashes is whenever I do anything, I get kernel panics when I, for some random reason, when I'm plugging or unplugging devices.
Yes.
Occasionally.
Yes. I will get those. There's almost always a hardware issue, isn't it?
Yeah, and now I've picked up this new Pixel Core habit. Pixel Core, if you're going to hang out and be really cool, you got to never unmount your devices. It's considered very unmanly to unmount your device.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, you just got to rip it out and then take the warning like a man and just dismiss it.
It's like that ad.
Right.
It's like
data loss.
It's like the ad on the Super Bowl where they are eating the Snickers and they kiss and they say, let's do something manly. And instead of ripping off their chest hairs, they should just pull out the USB key.
Take your thumb drive out.
Oh, ow. You're right. Take it like a man. Does anything bad ever happen? No.
Only if you've got stuff actually really open. If you've got files open that are reading and writing, right. You could get corruption.
Yeah, if it's writing.
Conventional wisdom at Pixel Core is, as long as there was nothing actively going across, it's fine.
It's been sitting there for a while. It's okay. We should say, by the way, that this is not recommended procedure. You can lose data if you do that because of the Mac. The Mac's a journaled file system. And as a result, writes don't always happen right away. And so that's the whole point of that, is a delayed write could kill you.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to mention. But in 4 years, I've had two kernel panics, and they were related to bad nodes, not to anything like pulling out a piece of hardware.
Mine generally get promoted to general panic.
Speaking of bad nodes, we've lost Alex. Shall I try him again? Let me get.
Yeah, I try. Yeah, we might want to call Banana here. He's having an unknown error.
Hey, Banana.
Can you guys hear me?
I hear you, Banana.
There he is. Sorry about that. Can you cut out my banana?
You guys, okay.
What happened?
You guys sound like you're all on helium and
we
static-y.
Do right now.
Yeah,
you got a bad connection, sir.
I had the connection I had before. It's just
what part will you excise of that, Leo?
Yeah,
none of it. I like it when you say banana.
We're going straight through.
It makes me happy when you say banana.
Banana.
I get it, Merlin. You were under the impression that when you said banana, I would like edit that part out.
I was under the impression that when I yelled banana, we would understand that there's a basic logistical problem that needed to be addressed. in my capacity as Sergeant Panic.
So my response is, I know banana.
Shut up, Merlin.
I know.
Shut up.
I can see that.
You should just get a sample of that.
So Alex,
you can play.
You're still getting crackling?
That's fine. I can listen to it.
Can you go in? You're Merlin's like next door, like next room, right?
No, he's right in front of me.
That could have something to do with it.
Should we share a mic like Bill Monroe?
Yeah, go sit next to each other, like Bill Monroe. A little bluegrass reference, ladies and gentlemen. Who does Bill Monroe share a mic with?
Bill Monroe's day. If you were playing at the Opry and you had to do a solo, you'd walk up there and hold your damn mandolin right up to the mic.
Right.
That's right, man.
I've been to the Opry.
This is the kind of thing
I've sat on the stage
this.
Of the Grand Old Opry. It was a moment I will never forget.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
We were doing an appearance for Tech TV in probably ZDTV in those days in Nashville, and I don't know how, but somehow we got on the Opry, the Opry's list. We went over to the Opry, got a tour. The old theater. It was a new theater, but you know what they do? The Opry used to be in a very famous theater. I'm going to look it up right now on Wikipedia while I talk. But they cut a little circle of the old theater stage out. And they embedded it in the new modern theater so that you can kind of feel like you're still there. It's pretty cool. I mean, the people who stood on that, circle of wood are legendary.
So I covered an award show there, and it's a pretty cool place.
It's really cool. Now, and then, what was the name of the old theater? I'm trying to find it. I'm on grandoleopry.com. But it was cool because somehow we got VIP treatment. So I was, and you can sit on the stage. So, and it's a live show, and they're very casual. It's really fun. The curtain's down. It's a lot like that movie, Prairie Home Companion. The curtain's down. They're, they're sitting around. They're smoking whatever they're doing. And then, they go, and we're on in 5, 4, and they jump up, and they start playing. And the curtain goes up, and they're, it's amazing. It's very fun.
Is it Hillsborough Theater?
No, it's Ryman. The Ryman. Thank you very much.
Oh, the Ryman Auditorium. Is that
It was in the Ryman originally. And so they cut out a piece of the Ryman stage. And when they moved it to the new theater, which is a big modern theater, they brought the circle with them.
I've seen both, and both are beautiful.
You've been to the Ryman?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm old, Leo.
You're older than wood. That's pretty good.
I'm telling you, I was around before Volkswagens.
Really? No, you weren't.
I'm just kidding.
Hitler invented the Volkswagen. You know that, right?
That's true. He did. Yeah. It was called the people's car.
And we're back.
We've really gone down the hole here, haven't we?
So anything that having to do with the Mac in any of the things we said in the last 15 minutes?
I ran a Volkswagen that had a Mac in the trunk once.
Did you really? All right. So
I bought some bluegrass off the iTunes store recently.
Bill Gates said Apple lies in its ads, too.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
What did he mean by that? Oh, he doesn't like the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC?
Yeah, he doesn't get him. He doesn't even get it.
I don't
he says, I just don't get it.
That's not funny.
I don't.
That's not funny at all.
Yeah, exactly. So
we worked really hard on Vista. I don't think it's funny. It's good to make fun of it.
I think he should stick to giving away zillions of dollars in Africa and let somebody else speak on behalf of his company.
Well, he will next year. That's it. He's over. He's done.
Is he really?
Stick a fork in him. He's cooked. Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Okay. Are you bugged by the Apple commercial where John Hodgman is the PC and he has to undergo surgery to get Vista?
I've never seen it.
Okay, right. I don't think
believe you, Billy.
I don't think the over 90% of the people who use Windows PCs think of themselves as dullards or the kind of klutzes that somebody is trying to say, that somebody is trying to say they are.
I think Stephen Levy was pretty tough on him, actually. Well, how about the implication that you need surgery to upgrade?
Wow. Certainly, we've done a better job letting you upgrade on the hardware than our competitors have done. You can choose to buy a new machine or you can choose to do an upgrade. And I don't know why Apple is liking like it's superior. I don't even get it. What are they trying to say? Does honesty matter in these things? Or if you're really cool, that means you get to be a lying person whenever you feel like it.
Whoa.
You know, I think if he would have had a shotgun, he would have shot this guy in the face and pretended to be Dick Cheney.
See, when people say that Stephen was soft on Bill, you got to understand this guy's foaming at the mouth at this point. You can go, okay, yeah, okay. And frankly, Stephen does not give up even then. Bill says, there's not even the single slightest shred of truth to it. Well, Bill, does the entire tenor of that campaign bother you that Mac is the cool guy and PC? That's for my customers to decide. Wow.
This is really more fun listening
to
you do this.
Mostly in the voice of Wallace Shawn.
That's just inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
You keep using that word, but nothing means
I don't even understand the metaphor. It's inconceivable.
Hey, let's do a podcast where we completely, like, each play the parts of all these people involved and, like, make that a whole show.
Oh, you know, we could say today on Mac Break Weekly, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Merlin Mann.
Oh, man. The kids would love that.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. Hey,
but you have to stay in character. I mean, you have to really get upset and, you know, like really care about Vista and stuff like that.
I'm intrigued, though. I know it's not appropriate for this show, Leo, but I'm going to go listen to one of your little Windows podcasts because I'm interested to hear more about your experience because it sounds like you feel like you've had a pretty good experience so far.
Yeah, Vista's great. I mean, it's the best.
Is anybody running it under Parallels or Boot Camp?
Yes, both. It's and as on a standalone Dell, which Merlin would never buy, but I did. If you're going to buy a PC, Merlin, buy a Dell.
It's not, and that's not a reflection of any particular model. It's just funny. The whole kind of fanboy issue is interesting to me because, I don't know, I feel a little bit landlocked. I mean, I'm a Mac user and that's where I am. And I think the people who call other people fanboys tend to be people who, are critical, more critical than me, but also are people who are on two platforms. People, like yourself who have an honest Vista, if you will, into what it's like to use both platforms for work. And so, I mean, I don't know. I don't have that point of view. I'm grateful to not have had that point of view for 4 years, but
Try it on Parallels if you.
No, I'd like to. And I mean, there's still stuff about the Windows. This would be a good episode actually, is the stuff that we wish we had from Windows. I still wish I had Rhapsody. I still think it's kind of crazy that I can't, given that I sit around most of the day at home. I'd love to have Rhapsody, and that's kind of
you're talking about the
weird
music service with a subscription.
Yeah, the music service you subscribe, and you basically get access to these bazillion.
Well, we should. Do you think Apple can't change its relationship with the music companies to do that? Do you think that they're kind of stuck with this?
The music companies want it.
Yeah, because they get an annuity. It's an annuity.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, for users, it just seems like. So did we ever establish that? So the Rhapsody doesn't work with Zune, right? You can't go in there and
you have to use
the
Zune Marketplace. I have tried. They have the same subscription feature on the Zune. In fact, that's the only time I've ever experienced it. And I agree with you. I had poo-pooed the idea of, oh, you pay $15 a month, you know, and then you stop paying, all your music dies. But, you know, as long as you're willing to pay that $15 a month, which, you know, I probably spend twice or three times that every month on CDs or music from iTunes. If you're willing to pay $15 a month, you can listen to anything.
And I still think we've talked about this in the past, is that what I'd really like to see is a hybrid where I can get a lower quality version for a subscription and I can get as much as I want of it and I can buy higher quality versions. I'd rather buy something that I considered CD quality, not the 128s. And I'd happily pay for those and then have the subscription service that I listen to all day. And if I really want that one or I want to have more rights to make my own mix CDs or whatever, I pay extra for it, you know, and that's something that, you know, I'd end up being a customer of both services at that point.
But what happens when you get into plays for sure, except when it doesn't?
Right.
Here's Merlin's. This is going to be Merlin's baseless rumor of the week. I think it would be really interesting for some maverick major label to come in and say, okay, we're going to give you access to this huge amount of our back catalog on that basis. It'd be really interesting for them to come in and want to cut a deal like that with iTunes.
I'd love that.
If they came in, I don't know who it would be, but somebody who's got a really deep back catalog, maybe somebody like Warner, forward-thinking kind of company, come in and say, okay, we're going to give you access. What are you laughing about?
I'm just the record labels and forward thinking just don't really.
Well, it doesn't cross.
I used to work for one of them, and I can understand the guys
there
on
are
the
pockets,
ground.
There are pockets of
forward.
Innovation inside of all of these companies, so you can't.
You know there are.
Yeah, the pockets are mostly on the ground.
I have a friend who's a pocket of innovation in one of these companies. So.
Well, I think more and more you're seeing that. I mean, I think that the music company, the old guys,
they understand the clock is ticking. Yeah. They understand that, and so anyway, the crazy rumor would be it'd be great if somebody came in and said, here you can have access to our back catalog. You can basically rent, if you will, this music. You come in and you pay a certain amount, you know, it's like the opposite of the Universal deal where you actually get money for it, or you actually get music in exchange for the money. You would have access to like get that stuff and listen to it on your device. And for, I don't know, 20 bucks a month.
Great.
I'd be fine, but the problem is that for $15 or $20 a month, you really need everyone to play.
You get that with Rhapsody. You get a million songs, or Zune, you get a million songs. I mean, that's nice. I mean, yeah. when I first got the Zune, I just was dragging artists onto it. Just, I didn't have to think about it. I'm loading that thing up.
I'm happy. I would be happy doing the same thing in video. One thing I'm noticing is that right now I'm going through. See, I've missed season 5 of 24, and so my wife and I are downloading from iTunes one at a time. Well, actually, three at a time.
You can't do it with TV because you don't listen to TV show, watch TV shows over and over again. It doesn't. You can't. You have to buy it. You could,
but
you
I'd be happy
say
to
all
pay.
The TV shows you want for $15 a month. That's called cable.
Well, the question is,
it ain't $15 a month either.
But think back catalog though. That's the other idea. Is like ABC's put up a bunch of these really old. I'm just saying. Like we're already.
Well, you can
got
go to CBS's download site and see all these shows for free as long as you're willing to stream them.
But isn't there already a kind of a premium in place for newer movies over older movies on iTunes?
Yes. That's right. Anyway, it's $10.
So if it was a sensible rumor, I wouldn't make it. If it was a sensible prediction, I wouldn't put it
from
out
the
there.
Same source as the guy who brought you the Beatles iPod, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new rumor. I got another rumor that actually I've been hearing around, probably also is from the same source, that at least when the Beatles come out, they're going to be sampled at a higher bitrate. Do you think that we'll see higher bitrate music from iTunes?
I hope so.
I would like
to. I know
Alex
has been talking
about
that
forever. That it's like, ugh.
You don't like the one. You think 128-bit AAC is not a very high quality?
Yeah, I can hear it.
You can.
Really? You can.
Oh, yeah. You can hear it. Here's where you'll hear it. You'll hear it when the song's ending. You'll hear it. If you listen to anything classical, you'll hear it when the strings are running. You'll hear it. There's a whole bunch of places where you can hear it getting, it's beating up the areas that start running on the outer edges of what you're listening to.
What would
it's
you
all
like to see?
You know, I'd be satisfied probably with something like, you know, 192 I'd be reasonably satisfied with. I mean, when I rip everything, I mean, Leo makes fun of me. This is another one of the things where Leo thinks I'm stupid.
I mock you right and left, actually.
I rip my stuff at 320.
Alex,
so I rip everything at 320. Well, because I'm never going to use my CDs again.
So
like, when I rip
Patrick
it, I want to know.
Too. He rips it at the highest quality. But if you're going to do that, why don't you use Apple Lossless?
Because then I don't know where I'll be. I mean, by doing an MP3 that's 320, I can play it anywhere. You know, I can put it on any device that plays MP3s.
Right.
If I do Apple Lossless, I'm not
sure.
Well,
use FLAC then, FLAC. I don't know, maybe iTunes doesn't play FLAC.
But
I don't
plug-in
know.
You can get, I think.
But MP3 players, the question is whether if I wanted to put it on some kind of other MP3 or I wanted to do something else that played MP3, I just want to put it in a
MP3
general format that works with everything.
Franca. Yeah.
And so then I know that it'll play on anything I want, and it's a quality that I can safely declare that I can't hear the difference in.
What do you rip at, Leo?
I will sometimes do 160 or 192, but 160, I agree that 128, well, see, I rip MP3s, and 128 MP3s really aren't very good.
I didn't used to notice the difference. My friend John Vanderslice gave me his settings, and he's a bit of an audiophile, and I use his. And 192... Let me go pull up my actual settings.
192 is good for MP3.
If you played in a rock band and had an amp near your ears, 192 is more than enough.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Or we're a DJ, Scott, wearing headphones for decades.
Yeah, I add to that the standing in front of Marshall stacks.
Oh,
and,
You know, I used to do that as a teenager.
Yeah, well, I can hear something if you really scream into my right ear, but that's about it.
Right. So hey,
Where is the resolution if you buy something from the iTunes store, Alex?
128.
That's 128.
But it's
128 AAC.
AAC is the successor.
It does sound better than an MP3.
It sounds better.
Not much, though. Yeah. I mean, I think it's not, you know.
You don't think?
Well.
I think it sounds a lot better than an MP3 at 128.
You know, I've told this story before, but please indulge me for those who haven't heard it. I was walking by Dolby Labs in San Francisco one day, and there was a guy standing in the door. He said, "Psst, hey, come here." And he said, "Come here." And we went into their acoustic reference chamber. They have an anechoic chamber with Rebel speaker, really good speakers, the best you can get. And he said, "I want you to listen to this." And now, by the way, Dolby worked on AAC, and they have their own formats. They're not MP3 fans. But he played me an MP3, 128 kilobit MP3, and then 160 and 192. I could tell it, and then did an A-B comparison without, you know, I mean, this was a really good way to test it in a very good system, in a very good chamber. And I could not tell the difference at 160, definitely not at 192. I could tell the difference at 128. And I think AAC is pretty similar. But if you get to, I think even 160, if space is an issue, but drives are so big now, why not? 320 is nuts. I don't think you get anything more after 192.
And so, Alex, when you're hearing the 128 AAC, can you tell the difference?
That's where he was saying he could hear the difference around the edges, like the strings.
What? You won't hear, if you're listening to rock and roll, you're not going to hear it. But if you're listening to things that have a lot of,
if you're listening like Andrew WK, you're probably fine.
And here's the other thing is if you do any kind of equalization to it after it's been ripped, that's when you're also going to hear it. So if you feel like you want to bump the bass or you want to bump certain areas of it up, it was not designed that way. The way it was compressed is to cut off the areas where I didn't think you were listening, and so you start bringing
that's a good
that
point.
Kind of stuff up.
That is exactly,
and you start hearing it. So sure, it's fine when you play it exactly the way you play it. But if I want to do anything to it, and I do like to do things to it. So,
but I think the damage is done as soon as you go to MP3, no matter what the bit rate. So even a 320, the damage is done.
Well, there's damage done, but I mean, the truth of the matter, of course, that we have to get into, and I know we're getting a little to this is audiophile,
this
but
is TWIM.
But this is the truth is it's ruined the moment it hits the CD. It's been right. quantified right. into these little samples away from an analog waveform, and so it's always a downhill slope once you go from the CD. You know, the CD, I've had people sit down and play me a CD and then play the analog version, and the analog version is significantly warmer, and it sounds, you know, it has
Scott
a different
and
sound.
I'm just
to it.
Glad we're so deaf. It all sounds great to us. We don't really.
Well, and see, now we're back to everybody remembers when I got made fun of because I talked about my LP collection. Now we know why.
Yeah, the problem with the LP, of course, was that it sounded great for the first three plays, and then after that, it was dusty and scratchy.
We could do a new show, Macintosh Weekly, with an MCINTOSH. We'll talk about tube amps.
Oh, bad.
It'd be a great show. In fact, I think we're doing it right now. This is a preview. For all the audiophiles among us, any other stories we should cover before we get our picks of the week?
Hey, I got some follow-ups from the stories we already talked about, but we didn't really cover completely.
Okay.
The Milo does do Skype and Yahoo Messenger.
Wow.
I think I had one other one. I'm actually, after I was looking at it, I was like, okay, I'm going over to the Sony store. I'm going to buy one just to test it.
Does,
and then I'll
it
tell
does
you guys.
Skype. Yeah, I'd love to hear how it works.
I'm going to go.
Why don't
I'll
you
go
do
buy
the next show from a Milo?
Maybe the Skype would actually work.
Yeah, it can't be
better than Skype.
So next time we do the show, I'll do it from a Milo. And we'll see how that turns out. And it can't be any worse than what I already have. So, and then the other thing is that when we're talking about this mesh technology, the Wisher, it is in fact, you know, you sharing all your bandwidth, which is really, really cool, except right. that it's against your agreement.
It might be.
Most in the United States. Well, I mean, you can't technically most of them. I mean, Speakeasy, I think, is pretty easy.
Yeah, I think some can. I'm not sure that that's, I wouldn't.
No, Speakeasy, it's fine.
Yeah.
But the agreements for most of the major ones, if you're doing Comcast or, you know, AT&T or something, they're pretty strict about not opening your Wi-Fi up to everyone. You know, that's kind of like if it goes outside your house, technically you're not supposed to, you know,
really
make it freely available. Yeah, that's a pretty common user agreement. That's come up and down in different areas in the Bay Area quite a few times where people are setting up whole blocks with each one of them just turning all their stuff on and leaving it wide open. And people still do it and act kind of, you know, I, you know, because like in my apartment alone, I can get, I don't know, 14 or 15 or there's 14 or 15 Wi-Fi hotspots that show up on, you know, sitting in my apartment. And most of them are closed down, but not all of them.
Yeah, there's 17 at my new condo.
Yep. Welcome to San Francisco.
Pretty amazing. So what, any other follow-ups?
No, that was it.
By the way, just posted on the Mercury News website for the first time, or I'm sorry, for the third time in nearly three decades, iPod maker Apple has resolved a bitter trademark dispute with the Beatles guardian Apple Corps over the use of the iconic Apple logo and name. truce announced Monday appears to finally bury the long-simmering animosity. However, the announcement was silent on whether the catalog of Beatles songs will become available for download anytime.
One of the things that's interesting about that announcement is that it appears that Apple now is basically taking over ownership of the Apple brand and then leasing it back.
They're going to license it back. Isn't that wild? But that makes sense. I mean, Apple's using it. I don't know. Is Apple Corps really vital and alive? And I mean, do you look for the Apple Corps brand?
Well, I think that's the argument. That's the but it's interesting that I just thought it was that's about the ultimate turnaround for Apple to name their band their computer company after the Beatles, Apple Corps, and then eventually take over the logo.
According to a research analyst at Piper Jaffray, he says that Apple paid the Beatles $50 to $100 million for the rights to the Apple name. That's on top of the more than $26.5 million Apple paid to settle past disputes with Apple Corps, the Beatles company.
So it's So what we're talking about is it might be a $100 million logo.
I would have changed the name of the company to Peach.
Yeah, that's Peach. A chunk of change.
That's a lot of money, but you know, it's probably worth it to keep your brand name, right?
Because then we could have
like
fuzzy
finally
computers.
Got it all out of the way. So now that they could do anything they want, which opens the door, by the way, is now that they've gotten that out of the way, Apple could go the final step, which is to start publishing artists directly if they wanted to.
Oh, good point.
That would have been a complete mess without the Beatles agreement. But with the Beatles agreement and having that completely cleared up once and for all, what it means is that Apple, if they wanted to, could become a publisher.
That's a very good point. That's worth $100
million. That's definitely worth $100
million. Neil Aspinall, manager of Apple Corps, said, "The years ahead are going to be very exciting times for us. We wish Apple Incorporated every success and look forward to many years of peaceful cooperation with them." That's a big
at least two or three anyway.
Well, but it's over, right? I mean, that's they've got a deal.
Allegedly.
You're such a skeptic.
Well, when it comes to all these late, Leo, this could still happen.
Listen, with all these
February 14th, Valentine's
Day, celebrate the event.
Good times. You know,
this is going to be an oversized tablet iPod. It's going to have a USB port.
17-inch.
I'm thinking, though, wait a minute. Now, they were obviously working fast and hard. They managed to miss the deadline. The Super Bowl was yesterday. I bet you anything they were working towards that announcement, and they just didn't make it, and they finally...
That's right, Leo. They're still really heavily into the QA portion of this. This is going to be completely ready by February 14th.
We need a new tag on Delicious. This. Can we have a new tag called Mac Break Weekly Butt Ideas?
But you've got out of the box. We've now got from the butt. I'm just thinking. I'm looking. I'm checking to see if Apple sent me any invitations today. No, not yet. But I'm thinking any minute now I'm going to get that Valentine's Day invitation from Apple. Big event coming up.
Goo goo gajube.
Mikhail Gorbachev has asked Bill Gates to intervene in a software piracy case.
Inconceivable.
No, it's inconceivable. Against the headmaster of a Russian middle school. He was accused of using... Why is Gorbachev involved with this?
I don't know. But did you see the? I have to say, did you cover on Windows Weekly? I'm afraid I wasn't listening. Did you cover what the Romanian president said about Windows?
No.
What he said, the piracy of Windows helped build his country.
Ooh.
I mean, it was pretty point blank. Wow. It was just, he's like, we couldn't have done what we're doing without pirating Windows. I mean, it was, you know, which is a fairly common third world comment that usually isn't made publicly. You know, is that, I mean, no one buys software in Africa and Eastern Europe and everything else. No one buys software there. And companies need to, I mean, this gets into a lot of what the Creative Commons is, you know, what they've been talking about is providing, you know, different tiers of how you sell or give away, you know, your software costs a certain amount in the West and is free in other areas and so on and so forth. Finding a way to legalize what's already going on is going to be important. But I just think it was hilarious that the president of Romania is sitting there just going, you know, pirating Windows has built our country.
So what? It's a little stealing. No big deal. No big deal. So instead of doing software picks, I thought we'd do our Super Bowl commercial pick.
Ooh. I wish I had seen the Super Bowl.
You know, there's a couple you're going to really want to see. That was some amazing CGI. My favorite was the Coke commercial. What happens when you drop a quarter into a Coke machine?
And yeah, totally.
Wasn't that amazing? Just beautiful.
Yeah, all of the Coke commercials were outstanding, and partly because they weren't full of incredibly unnecessary cruelty and violence. I'm not even like a big wuss about this stuff, but there was so many disgusting, violent commercials.
My daughter and I are watching, and after about the fifth time somebody get kneed in the groin, I said, Abby, let's start counting how many of these commercials play off the humor of somebody hurting somebody else.
Yeah, I can tell I'm ready to become a father because it's all about, you know, these, like, what do they call it, imitative behavior. Like, the guys slapping each other as the new greeting.
Right.
Like, anyway, but the Coke ones were great. They were very well done, and they were all different also.
Yeah, yeah.
But they all had this kind of nice positive feel to them.
Another neat thing was some of the best commercials were user-generated commercials. Those two Doritos commercials were done as part of a contest by, in fact, I read a quote from an ad agency guy saying, this is scary. These guys are very, very good.
Well, I think that's what's coming. I mean, these tools are really evening out quickly, and it's going to be really, it really is going to be a matter of the true talent. I think a lot of people who think that they can just keep on doing really the crud that they've been doing, you know, for a lot of these
ads. It's time to let somebody else make the damn car commercials. Cause it's like watching
awful.
People paint a wall. They're all awful.
The truck commercials. Awful.
The one with the truck. Oh my gosh. Yes. Where you watch the truck being built while the guy drones on. Oh my God.
I didn't even know. I mean, does this make you want to drive this thing? Maybe we're not the right audience. I don't know, Merlin.
Yeah, I've always heard people, we were talking about this yesterday. My friend Michael was saying that, you know, he's always heard that those are the hardest kinds of ads to make. How do you humanize a vehicle, you know, without overtly
they've
saying.
Done it well in the pot, you know, like a rock and, you know. Anyway.
Well, and you want to evoke. The thing is, you want to evoke some kind of a feeling, right? When you watch old car ads, they want to evoke some kind of feeling of, you know, freedom. And these seem more about.
What about,
like,
those Chevy ads? Did that work for you, where they're old Chevys and they're singing the old Chevy songs?
I didn't see that one. I was playing Wii during that one, probably.
Did you just get a Wii? This is one thing I know about you from Twitter.
I don't like to toot my own horn, Leo, as you know, but I have just reached pro status in tennis, so it's been a pretty good week for me. I just finally broke 1,000. Yeah, thanks. It's been good.
Wait a minute. I'm getting dial tone here. Hold on.
Do you play Wii? Do you play the Wii,
no,
Leo?
No, but I am now Twittering that Merlin admits he's wasting time on his Wii.
Lazy time.
Oh, God. So I know I've reached the nadir of productivity when I'm on Twitter responding to a remark about how I'm unproductive by using a Wii.
Again.
The singularity is near.
I own you. So since Alex doesn't have a TV, by the way, that's your new nickname. Alex, I don't have a TV, Lindsay. We can't do the Super Bowl ad picks. So let's go back to our old standard. Alex, do you have a
I was thinking of going to Super Bowl, and then I instead went to see Smoking Aces.
How was that?
Better. It was actually pretty good. It wasn't great.
It's an interesting idea. It got terrible reviews. I thought it might be a good. This is the
you
one
know what was interesting is that I thought that it was going to be much more slapstick violent. You know, just like goofy Pulp Fiction kind of violent. And it was actually a reasonably, you know, well put together movie with an enormous amount of chainsaws and guns and stuff like that.
Hey,
which is always a good thing for me.
We should mention that I don't know if they're going to do this again this year. I'm sure they will, but there was a podcast last year with all the Super Bowl commercials on iTunes, and I imagine they'll do that again.
If you go up to YouTube.com/Super Bowl, I meant to watch it before the show, and they're all there. All 50.
Yes. USA Today has them too.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to make this an Apple thing, so I just wanted to bring up that you
can there you go.
iTunes, get it, you know, anyway. But we subscribed to that. It was kind of cool last year, and it's, you know, it's really the best part. More than, I read a study that said more than half the people who watch the Super Bowl watch it for the ads, not the game.
Well, the question is, what happens to the ratings of the Super Bowl when everyone can always get the ads?
Right. Well, the ads weren't that good this year. I think
they were really disappointing.
Kevin Rose was in the GoDaddy ad.
I thought that was Kevin Rose.
Yeah. There's an extended version of that ad, by the way. I think it's up on.
Yeah, Callie Lewis is in the extended version, but she got cut out of the one that added on the Super Bowl. But yeah, and Kevin's pretty visible. If you really, you know, have fast eyes, you'll see Alex.
Alex is there too.
In the background there, but you have to look quick.
Oh, Alex, yeah.
Alex Albrecht, not Alex.
Alex Sub 2.
I was actually inserted in there as well, but I'm
not. You know, hey. Is it really an honor to be an extra in a Super Bowl ad? I guess it is. I don't know.
With a gyrating, busty
sour
woman.
Grapes.
Not for me.
Sour grapes.
Nobody asked me that question.
Sour grapes. You're right. I get the feeling,
Scott, that it would be kind of an apogee for you to appear in a GoDaddy TV show.
Wait a minute. Let me explain. Perigee, apogee. Which one is the high one?
Isn't that the high one?
Is perigee the high one? Apogee is the high one. Okay, got it. I just had to check. I was looking in my NASA dictionary. Spacewalks. All right, come on. Software. Alex Lindsay, your pick of the week.
Okay, my pick for the week, because I'm just starting to play with it, so I don't have anything that I've been using for a lot, because you missed it, Leo, last week. I had one for $699.
Oh, that's two Alex units, right?
No, it's one. It's one Alex unit.
It's just a dollar under an Alex.
A penny.
Oh, a penny. It's $699.99.
Yeah.
Nice.
This week.
Way to bring it in under price.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate Price is Right. You know, I mean, I just hit it right on the money. And if anyone's out there listening, thinking about how much you should charge for your software, $700. So anyway, so this one unfortunately falls way short of that. I know it'll be disappointing for many of our listeners. This one is not $700. It's not even close. So this product that I've been starting to play with is called Yojimbo.
I love Yojimbo.
Love Yojimbo.
So, and you can,
Yojimbo.
Yeah, it's kind of a way to, and Merlin will probably tell me more about it than I know already, but it's the ability to, you're able to organize a lot of just this random data it's just something I find that I'm dealing with a lot, where I have all this stuff from web pages and stuff that I'm writing.
It's a notebook app.
Yeah. I found it to be, fairly useful. I mean, and I know that my wife got it too, and she's found it to be extremely useful. Like, she's just using it all the time.
Yeah, so. I bought it almost immediately. It's from Barebone Software, the people who do BB Edit.
Yeah, and so it's $39.99 for, I think, a single
one 20th of an Alex unit.
It's very small.
It's been a hit with the kids in the productivity area. It's very easy to use. It interacts very nicely through services. So there's all kinds of ways, if you enjoy things like, wait for it, Quicksilver. It's very easy to use. It syncs with your .Mac. And if you recall, Leo, actually, just a plug for our big brother. There's a Mac Break segment I did interviewing one of the folks from Barebones talking about this. Yeah. It's a terrific app, and it's Do you use it right now, Leo?
Yeah. Two features to look for when you print to PDF once you've installed Yojimbo. You can print a PDF to Yojimbo, which makes it very quick to get stuff in there. And then there is an excellent mail script for Apple Mail that I use Acton with, so that I can, in one keystroke, just take an email and send it to Yojimbo. And that's the kind of thing you do. Now, here's the battle that goes on over Yojimbo is...
folders.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there is something almost religious in Barebone's software unwillingness to add.
They're adamant.
They won't add hierarchical folders. There's one layer level of folders. You can't nest folders. And if you look at the mailing list, which I subscribe to, pretty much every day somebody says, "Hey, I got an idea. What about hierarchical folders?" And they say, "No, we won't do it." And I asked him when I went over there. I said, "How come?" And it was like they almost threw something at me. They're just so sick of hearing that. But it's about some sort of purity thing. I don't understand.
If your life is so complicated that you need hierarchy folders, you should simplify.
I suspect that they would say that the latest release, which very handily adds tagging functionality, would help take care of some of that. And it has a smart group functionality that's pretty easy to use as a result.
Yeah. And they added Apple.
You're right, though. It's crazy making. If you're used to thinking about, like, okay, here's an area called work, and inside of work there are projects that I'm working on, and inside of those projects are... I mean, that's kind of the way you start to think when you organize stuff.
They don't want you to think that way. And there is, I mean, there's global search, and because of tagging global search and so forth, I guess you don't have to have folders. It's a great repository, and so I still use it despite the lack of... It's just funny that it's rare that you'll see a developer. Most of the times, developers cave to users eventually.
I think every developer's got something that you eventually discover they're really attached to. And sometimes it's something that's really sensible, and other times it's something that's just almost like a superstition. Not that this is necessarily what's happening here, but almost every developer, like the developer of Scrivener, is very adamant about certain things. The developer of TextMate that I love, Alan is like, "We're never going to have a full screen mode. That is all."
Really?
And and everybody's like, the Ethan who made Kinkless is like, "We are going to do GTD this way. That is all."
Right.
You know? And in a way, that's kind of what you do. When you make a good app, you say to people, "I'm going to present you with a set of opportunities and constraints and present it in a really usable way." And so if you can learn to think like within us, you know, we're not going to let you do this any conceivable way. And that's part of what gives this structure.
Nobody tells Picasso, "Can you put the nose on the right?" So I guess if you think of yourself as an artist, and in many ways, you know, creating a program is a work of art.
I'm that way. I mean, People ask
you,
me,
you're like that, Alex?
You really are that way, Alex. Alex is what can we call him?
Alex is like a crazy old man who has a hamburger stand, and he'll make you a hamburger, but you're going to have it with the egg on it, and he's going to toast the bun, and God damn it, this is how it's going to be.
There is a hamburger stand, the original hamburger stand in the world, where hamburgers were invented in New Haven, called Louie's Lunch, and you can't get it with ketchup. There's no ketchup. You have to have it with tomato. You can't have it with ketchup. And it's on toast, not a bun. And that's it. You know, no choice. You know what? It's the best hamburger I've ever had. So.
Well, see, there you go.
There you go.
Now, I was in a meeting with someone who asked
me. That's what you are. You're the quick time Nazi.
Yeah, exactly. I was in a meeting today where someone asked me if I could port the MacBreak to Windows Media Player.
Oh, no.
No soup for you.
No soup for you.
I didn't hurt him. I just said,
Mr. Lindsay, it sounds like you just made a buzzing noise.
I feel like, I just kind of stared and said, no.
Next issue.
All right. So your pick of the week, and I agree, and Merlin agrees. It's a wonderful program. It's the only notebook program I use now, and I own them all. I've bought every one of them, is Yojimbo from Barebone Software. Scott Bourne?
My pick is Yo Bimbo.
Does it have anything to do with Hooters?
Something. Anyway, no. My pick is surprisingly inexpensive, given some of I tend to pick things along the Alex Lindsay price range as well. But I found the most incredible thing for 18 buckaroos.
Ooh.
It's called Guitar Shed.
Say that carefully.
I did. It's from a company called Astoundit, Astoundit.com. I said that carefully as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you play guitar and you have a Mac, or you know somebody who does, just go get this program, because it is a guitar tool suite. It's got everything in it.
What does it do? Is it for tuning? Is it for learning?
It's got, I'm just getting ready to tell you, it's got everything. It's got a tuner, a chord library where you can actually hear the chords and see them.
Wow.
400 chords in the library, by the way. It's got a tablature, which is the way you do guitar music if you don't know how to read real music. It does a search and an organize. So you can type in,
this is cool.
You can type in some name of a song you want. It'll go get you tab for it so you can play it. It's got a metronome. It's got a thing you can jam with. You know, and in 2042 years ago, when I was in college, I minored in guitar performance. So,
Do you still play?
Wow, I didn't know.
Oh yeah, I'm a fairly serious player.
Oh, we gotta whip it out. Let's hear it.
Well, I don't have it right here, but when you come down to the condo,
yeah, I will bring. We gotta record this.
We're totally gonna play. Totally.
We're gonna be like partying in Scott's all the time.
I'll bring my ukulele.
I have my Ovation guitar with Babinga wood on it.
Ba-ba-bing.
Oh, you got the Babinga wood model, huh?
Ba-ba-bing.
I did. Anyway, this thing, I got this thing and I looked at it and I said, 18 bucks for all this? You got to be kidding me.
It's amazing.
It's got a little drum machine you can play along with. You can play along with any MP3 file. You can't buy a set of strings for $18 anymore. So anyway, check it out. It's at astoundit.com. It's called Guitar Shed.
Looks like they have another program for kids called Kid Widget. Which is a safe computing environment for your kids with a lot of kid-friendly tools, writing, drawing, painting, flashcards, games, musical pianos, and more. So that's kind of sounds like a good company.
It's a neat little company.
Mine comes from, it actually was started by Kevin Rose, who dug a program for the Mac, and I noticed that John Foster added it to our tags, called iRecord, which was a very simple one-button record from your iSight camera. And the comments said, well, you know, there's other programs that do this maybe even better. And one of the comments mentioned something called Gawker. It's a free program from SourceForge, gawker.sourceforge.net. It is a free stop-motion program that works with any camera, including your iSight camera. But it also has a very slick network interface, so you could put Gawker on your laptop down the hall and then log into it from the other room or even across the internet.
Wow.
And watch what's going on in that camera. You can get stop action, time lapse. It's a very cool free program. And you can even create time lapses from four locations side by side. So if you go to the gawker.sourceforge.net site, you can see some sample time lapses created with Gawker. And it's, you know, we've talked about iStop Motion, which is a commercial program. This is probably not as fancy but it is free and a very cool program. Cocker.sourceforge.net. So we've gone.
I'm definitely checking that out.
We've gone from $30 to $18 to free. Merlin, man, I think you're going to have to pay us to.
Pressure's on.
Use your program.
Well, I've got I don't have one program. I got two half programs. I got first of all, I got an update. These are both messaging programs. Well, let's get the one out of the way. I think you might have done this one already, Leo. But now that I'm officially blowing my days on Twitter, I'm using Twitterific. Have we talked about Twitterific?
I don't know, and I don't care. Talk
Twitterific
about
Twitterific is a beautiful little application. Well, first of all, we must make it clear that what Twitter is like, just as Jaws was a perfect killing machine, Twitterific is like a perfect time destroying. Yeah. Twitter is a perfect time destroying machine.
Yeah. On both ends.
Yeah.
Wow. Destroys time Zing. At both ends.
$39.95. Twitterific is by the wonderfully talented folks at Icon Factory, and it's just a very simple little OS 10 interface to updating your Twitter, and to make it very easy to go in and say things like "I am explaining Twitterific," and that gets
he did he just did that
you do it in that voice,
yeah,
and
Merlin is ducking
and,
funny.
There's my little ding. And so that's a great little app. So if you're going to do the Twitter, and I don't know how long I can stand this.
Updated to 1.1, by the way. And
recently updated?
Needed to be, yeah.
It's a very handy little app, yeah. And you can use it. A little window pops up, and you can close it, and it'll bug you again when there's a new update of your other friends.
What is the appeal,
friends.
Do you think, of Twitter?
It's something that I've started to call personality spamming, which is that you have this ability to go out and kind of spread your interests and your things and your activities among many people.
Wait, when you
and
put I it like, that way, it's disgusting.
I mean, yes, it is. But no, the truth of the matter is that it's for people who are in a wired environment. There is actually something kind of warm about seeing what your friends are doing.
That's what it
and
is.
And I think it's actually really oddly human. And for people like me who are already using their away message to say like what song they're listening to, right, or whatever, this isn't really so different. Which gets me to number two, which is that my favorite IM program, Adium, has officially gone to 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to adiumx.com, now if you need the full-on video chat capability, you're still going to want to stick with iChat. But Adium is an open source application that has tons of great plugins. I haven't updated any lately, but it's a great IM program. It's got, do you use this? Anybody
yes,
use this?
I do.
Adium?
Yeah,
anybody?
I like
so
Adium.
It's got the tabs. It's really, really pretty. And that's adiumx.com. It's open source, so it's free as in beer. Twitterific from Icon Factory, iconfactory.com is also free. And it's a great way to tell the world what you're doing.
Excellent. Gentlemen, I think we've done another fantastic episode with only 14 rat holes this week, I was counting. But that's okay. That's okay, because people love the rat holes. Right?
That's our story.
That's what
we're
telling ourselves.
I just need some reassurance. All right, we're going to wrap it up, but we'll be back next week with another Mac Break Weekly. I hope you will, too. On behalf of Alex Lindsay, Merlin Mann, and Scott Bourne, I'm Leo Laporte. We'll see you next time on Mac Break Weekly.
Do you play classical? Do you play like with your foot elevated and all that stuff?
Yeah, I do that, but I actually prefer, you know, everything. There we go.
Waka waka tikka chicka waka waka.
I kind of like Neil Young and stuff like that.
Why don't you favor us with the song, Leo? Sounds like you got a little ukulele there.
Hey, can we do the new Mac Break Weekly theme with that?
Yeah, I love the uke. The reason I got the uke is because they actually said, I went to the music store and they said we don't. I said, do you give ukulele lessons? They said no, because you really, there's no point. Nobody needs to actually study the ukulele.
Do you give ukulele lessons?
I know that might be the only time that question's ever been asked in the history of the universe.
No, sir, we like to get laid.
It was nice of them. It was nice of them to not laugh at me.